I'm sharing five super simple ways you can generate qualified leads and revenue from a B2B podcast. Hey, I'm Sam Dunning, founder at Breaking B2B. And if you want to join thousands of legends enjoying my ultimate B2B podcast playbook, head over to breakingb2b.com, hit the newsletter tab, and download it instantly. In this episode, I'm going to share five battle-tested ways that we use at Breaking B2B ourselves on our own podcast, Breaking B2B, as well as for client shows on how you can generate qualified leads and sales pipeline, most importantly, contributing to revenue. So let's dive straight in. Okay, so strategy one is targeting dream clients with your B2B podcast. This is like an ABM or an account-based marketing play. So for example, at breakingb2b.com, if we're going after B2B web design, SEO, or podcasting clients, we tend to work with B2B tech or service companies, and we tend to go after their heads of marketing, maybe the CMO, maybe VP of marketing, maybe demand gen lead or director or similar. So let's say, for example, I was going after Gong, fast growth SaaS company in the call recording space for sales calls. I went onto LinkedIn. If I head onto their LinkedIn page and if I search for their CMO, chief marketing officer, I can see that Brian O'Connor is their CMO. So I would send Brian a painfully short LinkedIn personalized request that opens up the curiosity gap. So literally something super short, like Brian Dash would love to get you on my top B2B show against Convo. So Brian Dash would love to get you on my top B2B show against a Convo. I've not told him that at all. I've not done the traditional sales outreach of 10 paragraphs boring you about how great our company is or how good our podcast is. Something super short, something memorable, something that stands out, gets straight to the point and then goes for a no. So you might have heard of a book by Chris Voss called Never Split the Difference. He's an ex-FBI hostage negotiator, talks about the power of going for no. It's in a bunch of other sales books and marketing books. But basically, it's easier for folks to say no to something. So that's why I'm saying, is he against a conversation around it? So we'll see if that pens, but I'll put that if I update my Google Sheet and add Brian O'Connor, company Gong, job title, CMO, and I'll add in his LinkedIn profile to my Google Sheet. And then we do that for the top 50 or so, or however many dream clients hit that list. So a bunch of those are going to accept. Of course, there'll be a few that won't, but we go the ones that do. And then from there, we want to do a great show with them. So the whole point of this strategy is to build up relationships with target accounts that fit that dream client list and essentially be top of mind if they need our offer. So I have released a full strategy of how we do this. So if you go to breakingb2b.com, hit the newsletter tab, you can download the full podcast guide and unlock that instantly. So essentially what we want to do is when we invite them on the show, we want to run a great podcast with them where we talk about their expertise, they share some actionable tips for our audience, give some insights and more. We might have a bit of banter before the recording and just build up some relationships. So ask them how business is going, ask them what the plans are for the quarter ahead, what strategies are working and similar. We'll record the episode, we'll make sure it's a great episode. What I usually like to weave in after we've recorded the show is maybe ask them how they're handling the problem we fix. So in our case, the problem we fix is how are you handling competitors showing above you on Google search, which is an SEO-based question, or I might say, how are you getting in front of dream clients if you consider podcasting or something like that? Just a subtle ask. They might say, we're handling it great already, or they might say, oh, that's interesting. Is that something you guys do? And then you might be able to book a time in their calendar. But another thing to consider is we want to make it an enjoyable experience for them. We don't want to pitch them straight away. So what I like to do is after we've recorded that great show and we've made it live, I'll send them a podcast promotional kit. It says along the lines of, hey, your podcast episode's live. Here's the links, YouTube, Apple, Spotify episode page. I've attached some artwork and some promotional video clips. So if you're able to share them on socials, LinkedIn, other social media email lists, that's much appreciated. let me know if I can help further. So making it super easy for this guest to share the podcast. They're probably going to think, well, this person's gone to the effort of making some promo video clips, and then we're promoting it like crazy on the audio podcast, on LinkedIn, or on our email list, and on the YouTube with all the guest episodes that we've done. So the whole point of this is that you're building up relationships with these target clients. Some of them, when you ask them after the recording, like, how are you handling this issue we fix right now? They might be open to a conversation, some won't. But you've planted a seed, so you're going to be top of mind. They've had a great experience with you during the show, after, and for promotional material. Like, you might tag them in socials every time you put out a promotional clip or artwork of the episode. And then after a while, you might reach out to them. So you might schedule a message for 2 months, 3 months, be it yourself as a founder or one of your sales team, and just inquire how they're getting on. You might add them to your email list. You'll connect with them on LinkedIn, so they're going to see your content if you're posting every few days on the problem you fix or the offer or how you help. So eventually, when they do need your service, you're going to be top of mind because you're the person that helped them, that they now trust in that space, and that's built, taken the time to build up a relationship. So that's a really good way to break into target accounts, cold prospects that probably never normally entertain a cold call or cold email. Really good strategy. And another way to use this account-based marketing dream client podcast strategy is actually to speed up existing deal cycles. So if your sales team have got prospects that are perhaps moving slowly through the sales process, invite them onto your show, give them a good experience, gives you some face time with them, and again, can speed up those deals. Strategy two is interviewing famous people in your niche. So depending on what industry or what sector, whatever niche your organization falls within, you're probably going to know a few folks that have got a good following, be it online, LinkedIn, or similar, or perhaps there's other social channels, or even face-to-face events, be it networking shows, trade shows, etc. These guys hang out. Being in digital, mine are going to be on LinkedIn in the B2B space. So, for example, in digital marketing, Neil Patel is a fairly well-known person in the digital marketing space. So I might want to invite him onto my show, Breaking B2B. Reason being that I might want to do this is because he's famous in the niche. He's got a big following, a big audience behind him. So if he comes on the show, that's going to give us some good social proof, can encourage folks to trust us more because they think, oh, well, they've got someone famous in the niche on the space. So it might build up the trust from that angle. And also, if they are able to share the podcast after they've been on the show, then that can actually introduce our podcast to a wider audience that perhaps had never heard of our show before. So again, if you can invite famous folks onto your show, builds up credibility. Also means that you can name drop them in your pitch if you're doing cold email pitches, or if you're doing LinkedIn invite pitches, or other ways you can say, look, recent guests include, and then drop their names of two or three famous folks in the industry. Just increases your likelihood of getting other guests on the show. Like I say, you can piggyback on their audience to gather a bigger audience for yourself and encourage target clients, leads from folks that already follow them. Strategy three is running solo episodes to build thought leadership around your industry, area of expertise, and in your niche. And the reason you want to consider doing solo episodes is it builds another layer of trust with your audience, be them listening in to the audio podcast, or perhaps they're tuning in on YouTube, or maybe even through lives if you go down that route. So what you want to think about is if you're constantly interviewing guests, yes, it can be super entertaining, but a lot of the time it's probably going to be the guest that's speaking. So unless you're giving your point of view when you're responding to questions or asking them questions and similar, there's only so much that you can kind of get across your area of expertise. So solo episodes are really good to drill into specific topics, share your knowledge, share your point of view, and build another layer of trust with your audience on that area of expertise that you're honing in on. So at breakingb2b.com, on this show, you'll quite often see me do solo episodes around podcasting, around B2B SEO, and around B2B web design, where I'll share battle-tested tips that we've picked up over the years. And then we'll publish them onto the website. We'll publish them onto the audio podcast, onto YouTube, and we'll also make an article out of them. But the good thing about doing solo episodes is not only is it a good chance to drill into a dedicated topic, they are searchable. So if you put a dedicated article page on your website, they can be searchable from Google. They can be found. It can be evergreen content that can be found not just now, but for months and years to come to drive traffic and leads. But also they can be chopped up into mini clips. So if you do video episodes, they can be chopped up into micro clips that you can then publish on socials to get more audience attracted to your content, gain more views, gain more downloads, gain more listens. But I found them one of the most effective ways to essentially build trust with the audience at scale and to acquire inbound leads. So a few ideas when it comes to actually wondering what you should talk about on a solo episode or going down the solo podcast route. I quite often do episodes on dedicated topics around common sales call questions I get, i.e. how to do something. So in our case, how to rank top of Google, how to start a B2B podcast, how to build a website that converts. What are those common questions that you get? It could be cliche questions, controversial ones. Why is SEO so expensive? Why is this so expensive? What's a common point of view that you've got in your industry that maybe goes against a lot of things that folks talk about? What's a common objection that you can address that you get brought up on sales calls? What's an industry trend? So I might talk about what's going on with a Google algorithm update, what's new in podcasting, what's new in websites. So there's so many things that you can grab from sales calls, customer service, customer success calls, calls that you have with prospects, industry news, what's your point of view? So much fuel that you can use for topics or even point of view on things that guests have talked about in your podcast. Use those, leverage them. Leverage the content to your advantage. So publish it to your website article page, publish it to YouTube, publish it to the audio podcast, chop those clips up for video clips on LinkedIn. So there's a ton of replay value. It's all searchable on Google. So it can attract the audience, build that extra layer of trust. And then you've got to include a nice call to action in there, perhaps at the start and perhaps at the end for someone to head to your website, download a guide, maybe to book a call to discuss further or grab a free demo. Make sure you consider that CTA, make it crisp. Make it clear on that problem you're going to fix and the action you want your audience to take. That's a great way to drive leads. The fourth way to attract leads and drive some revenue through a B2B podcast is sponsorships. So this is probably only going to be a route and a viable option for you once you've built up an audience, be it on YouTube, maybe through your email list, maybe through the audio podcast or whatever channels you distribute and upload your podcast to. You're probably going to need an audience because most sponsors will want to know that there's a decent amount of folks within that target niche that they go after actually listening, watching, or consuming that content. So a few ways that I've acquired sponsors for Breaking B2B over the years is some have come inbound. So we tend to go after the companies that like to sponsor Breaking B2B are usually marketing tech companies. So SaaS companies that go after marketing leaders or B2B founders. That's what we talk about. We talk about B2B marketing. We invite tech marketers, tech founders, so they tend to go after that audience. So some have come inbound, but that probably didn't start till year two or so of the podcast. And we're now 4 or so years in at the time of recording. And I've also reached out to some. So when podcasts sponsors have been due for renewal, I'd head over to LinkedIn. I'd use the search tool. And then I'd search for companies that fit that ideal client profile that go after our audience. And then reach out to their marketing leaders. Or their demand generation leaders, directors, as those tend to be the folks responsible for the budget. And then again, use that strategy that we talked about earlier with a Google Sheet, make a list of them, reach out to them with a painfully short message. It might be a personalized request that says something like, "Hey, Steve, had an unusual idea to build your audience and drive inbound leads against a conversation." So again, a lot of this outreach strategy I use is painfully short, opens that curiosity gap and improves acceptance rates. And then I'll probably send them a Loom video, like a custom video via LinkedIn message directly rather than email them so I can see that they get it. And then just give them a snapshot of what the sponsorship entails, what value they get out of it, and see if they'd be open to setting up a Zoom. Something simple, something like that is a great way to outreach. But I'd recommend building up some kind of audience before you utilize this as a strategy. And then within your podcast site, you can say, look, we're accepting sponsors, or you can reach out to relevant sponsors that fit that profile of your audience. And then the fifth and final way to attract leads from your podcast is to guest on other folks' podcasts. So there's a great site called chartable.com. That's chartable.com that I like to use. And a nice way to do that is you go on chartable.com, you head to the chart section, you click Apple Podcasts, as that's usually the most popular choice. You can hit Spotify as well. Choose the target market of your listeners. So I could choose Great Britain or America, as that tends to be the split up of our listeners. Then in my case, you can choose the category of the audience you want to go after. So you've got all sorts, arts, business, comedy, etc. So in my case, I go into business, I choose marketing, as we tend to go after marketing leaders. And then what I do is from there you're presented with the top 100 or so podcasts that fit within the niche of the target clients you go after. So in my case, I'd reach out to a bunch of hosts that are in the top listings here, in my case of marketing top charts on Chartable. So I'd reach out to folks like Ryan Alford, that's running the Radcast, that's currently number one for US in marketing. I've got Neil Patel at number two, Mike Linton at number three. So I'd reach out to these folks. Much the same with that painfully short LinkedIn message. I did that to Ryan Alford recently, and he invited me onto the Radcast, which is about to episode air soon at the time of recording this one. So looking forward to that. So why are we doing this? Well, we're trying to get on other marketing podcasts, or not necessarily marketing, whatever fits your niche. So whatever your industry you're going after, the audience. So we can do a great show on their podcast and then ramp up our audience. So when we're invited to promote ourselves, perhaps at the end, perhaps at the start of that recording, we can then guide the audience of that show to check out our podcast. We can do a crisp, clear call to action. So I might say, look, if you're frustrated of the same old B2B marketing BS and you want actionable tips to grow your revenue through organic search, your website and podcasting, then you could consider checking out Breaking B2B. Head over to breakingb2b.com to tune in, give it a try. A crisp, clear call to action like that. You do a few great shows, you're building up your audience, you're piggybacking on that podcast audience, and then they might check out YouTube, they might check out your podcast, and eventually, if what you're saying resonates, a bunch of those may inquire directly. And I have even had leads directly from me guesting on shows. So guesting on podcasts is another way to build trust with other people's audience. And I've seen a bunch of direct inquiries, direct booked calls come off guesting as well. So both those strategies, super viable and worth a go. And there we have it. I hope you found this episode and the five battle-tested tips to generate B2B leads from your podcast of use. And to join thousands of legends, enjoy my ultimate B2B podcast playbook. Head over to breakingb2b.com, hit the newsletter tab, and you can unlock it instantly. Or if you want to discuss firing up your own B2B show, head over to breakingb2b.com and book a call. Cheers for tuning in. Catch you on the next one.